And last week, CBC broke the story that a group of children as young as 12 were connected to life in a local drug house where police found 10,000 used needles. BC's child and youth advocate Mary Ellen Tapel-Lafon told CBC the children had been effectively living in the crack house near downtown Prince George. She feared they were injecting hard drugs, risked sexual exploitation, and were in imminent danger. Tapel-Lafon said she's been lobbying the ministry for months to help find the kids a safe place to live. For his reaction, we're joined in studio by Mike Morris. He's the BC Liberal MLA for Prince George Mackenzie. He has a personal perspective on vulnerable kids in the north, and he joins me this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. What was your reaction when you first heard kids as young as 12 were frequenting a local drug house?
Unfortunately, it wasn't a surprise. Mm-hmm. You know, I spent 32 years in the RCMP, and oftentimes you find vulnerable children in those types of situations. So it wasn't a surprise. It's tragic, but it wasn't a surprise.
Right. Your past, of course, and you're a former RCMP member, and of course, at the same time, you grew up. And I mean, like, we should maybe get into that. How what can you tell us about how you grew up?
Well, I grew up. Our family was quite poor, and my mom and dad separated when I was young, and so she was a single mom on her own. We were on welfare, and so we associated with probably kids that were vulnerable and made bad choices and got mixed up with the law. And I was lucky enough that I had a mentor that came along in my life when I was about 14 and made sure that I didn't fall over onto the wrong side.
Right. Yeah. Basically, up until that point, you could have went the other way.
Oh, it would have been very easy. Yes. Right. Yep.
And that mentor, what can you tell us about the mentor and what changed in your life at that point?
Well, he just saw something in me, I guess, saw an element in me that was worthwhile paying attention to and took me under his wing and gave me some odd jobs to do. We were living in a kind of a rundown old motel at the time, and he bought the place and fixed it up and got me to help him out. And he had his family were in college at the time, and his son took me under his wing and took me to different games and whatnot out there. So it showed me a different element of life at that time.
Is it kind of surprising looking back and seeing how far you've come in your life and where things could have gone?
Not surprising. I've never been surprised. You know, I realized at a young age, and perhaps it was at that particular time, that I was responsible for the choices I made. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to live the lifestyle that I'd been living and that my parents had been living in for a while. So it was up to me to make sure I changed that.
And in your childhood, I mean, how does that, I suppose, shape your look at what's happened on Spruce Street, for example?
I think the childhood and the experiences I had, and I went to over a dozen schools from grade 1 to 12 throughout BC, and saw a whole lot of things in the lower socioeconomic era or period that I lived in there. It helped me be a better police officer, and it helped me understand a lot of the situations that I got into.
And on that note, you were also a Mountie for more than three decades. And this, as you mentioned, it doesn't come as a surprise hearing about this on Spruce Street. I'm sure there's many cases like this. What sorts of conditions did you see kids and youth living in your time as a Mountie?
Oh, the worst imaginable, you know, that... you've seen them living in abject poverty, parents with addictions issues, mental illness associated to the addictions, just a plethora of those types of situations that are out there. Mm. And it's an element that police officers and social workers are familiar with, and they do their very best to deal with children in those types of situations.
Right. You have people that know of these potential drug houses. They might know that there's kids living in them. Why don't just, I guess some people might ask, why don't police just move in and shut these drug houses down more often?
Well, it's a law. You know, we live in a world, in a country that adheres to the letter of the law. And there's a tremendous amount of judicial oversight over police officers in the province right across this country. So they have to make sure that they have the legal right to enter those homes. It can't be on a whim. It can't be just because somebody's told them it's a drug house. They need to do a lot of backup work before they go in there to ensure that they have a solid case.
And of course, there's always also layers, right? Because if you're dealing with kids in care, for example, you have to work as well with ministries as well, correct?
They do. And the police, you know, as far back as when I first joined the RCMP in 1973 and Prince George was my first posting, we worked hand in hand with social workers in every detachment I was at right across the province.
I, of course, at one point was driving in one area, and I remember this was when I was dropping off my child at daycare, and I drove by a house and it had been cordoned off. And I know there's some kids' toys in the front yard and had bullet holes in the front window. And I remember this vividly. This was like within the last year and a half I saw that. And I remember thinking, gosh, you know, you see these problems present themselves again and again. How do you feel yourself, having been a member of the RSMP and, of course, given your strong connection to this area, how do you feel when you see these problems present themselves again and again?
Yeah, I wish there was a magic solution to preventing them from happening in the future. We, of course, deal with the law, and the RCMP will investigate, and they'll send it to Crown Counsel for prosecution, and it goes through the court system. That doesn't seem to rectify a lot of the situations that are out there. We have repeat offenders. We have people that make bad choices all the time and get themselves into those types of situations and try as hard as we might. We haven't come up with a remedy yet to prevent people from making those bad choices.
Remedy yet? Do you think we'll ever find a remedy?
I don't know. You know, it's probably not in my lifetime, but I know that there's people working on ideas every day of the week within social services, within the police force, within the Crown Council system, within corrections, trying to find that magic bullet, but we haven't found it yet.
BC's representative for children and youth, Mary Ellen Tapelafond, told CBC there's nowhere in Prince George for these kids to go. How important is that children in care be able to stay in their home communities?
Well, I think it's important. I don't think that's an accurate statement. We do have places in Prince George for children to stay. You know, it's never been an issue for us here in Prince George. Prince George is no different than any other community in the province. It's got those types of problems, and the social services and the people that work in that that era do a tremendous job in making sure that those children are well placed.
Okay. Well, what's your advice to your BC Liberal colleagues then about improving things for vulnerable kids here?
Well, you know, all of my colleagues are very much aware of these types of problems, and we're going to be doing everything that we can to help out. But like I said, at the end of the day, we've got to come up with that solution to try and make people make better choices in their life. And I don't know what that solution is yet. We live in a free and democratic society where we allow people to make their own choices.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And take care.